Welcome back to the Boardroom Banter Podcast, where we take a deep dive into the journeys, ideas, and reflections of the incredible people who are building a better tomorrow.
This is a conversation by builders and for builders. Whether you're building a career, your skills, a startup, or even a life that you can be massively proud of,
we give you an exclusive behind-the-scenes look into the thoughts and stories of our amazing peers and mentors who are doing just that.
So sit back, take a deep breath,
and get ready to step into the boardroom. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whoever you are, wherever you are. Welcome to the Boardroom Banter Podcast. You're joining myself and fantastic two other gentlemen who have not all been on the pod at the same time in a long time. It's Founders Friday. That means that you've got all three of us. We've been learning, we've been talking, we've been doing, we've got a lot to talk about. There's a lot that's happening around the world, in our worlds as well. And Founders Friday is basically where the three of us, Boniface, Yuri, and myself, Sean, sit down and basically unpack. Gentlemen, welcome to the boardroom. How's everyone doing? Okay, editing. Editor note, add sirens.
Add sirens. Guys, this is a fresh, this is a breath of fresh air.
It's a fresh of breath air.
It's a fresh of breath air. See, like, I'm giggling, I'm all shy here. It's like I'm meeting these guys for the first time. We haven't been on here since we hit episode 100, right? And so the last time guys heard from us was 28th April. How crazy is that? Yuri wasn't in the country by the time, like, that's just wild. But yeah, as Sean said, you know, there's a lot that has been happening. All three of us have been in Nairobi. And I think this is just an example of the reason why we always say Nairobi is very dangerous. Because how can we have been in Nairobi for 2 months, 3 months, and you know, this is when we're hopping on? But yeah, it feels good to be back.
I'll just echo what you said, Boni. I'm also excited to be back, but the weather is just too cold over here. Probably that might be the reason why we decided to disappear here for a bit, because we've been hibernating and coming up with different kinds of content ideas. But I'm over here, covered in a blanketi, which is the Swahili word for... What's the Swahili word for blanketi? Is it a duvet or what? Sean, what is it?
A blanket. Blankety blanket.
Blankety blanket. I don't know.
It was a very unoriginal translation, direct.
Exactly. It's super cold in Nairobi, but I'm enjoying every bit of it. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Awesome, gents. As is our tradition here in the boardroom, let's kick it off with a pen check. So for anyone who's listening in, pen check is basically how we check in on each other, initiate the conversation, small talk if you wish, but pen check is a bit more of an intentional way of figuring out how's everyone doing and basically checking the temperature. So feel free to use this framework in your meetings coming up. Trust me, you'll be a hit and probably get promoted. We shall only ask for 0.5% of your new salary increase as royalties. So PEN, P-E-N, stands for physical, emotional, and needs. So each of us will go around and just say, how are we doing physically? How are we doing emotionally? And what are some of our needs? And then we shall proceed to dig into the conversation for the day. So quick one, Boniface, how are you doing? Sips tea. He took a sip.
I took a quick sip of tea because, hey, you know, it's funny, when I was preparing for this conversation and running through my pen check, it's like, do I do a pen check of how the past 3 months have been? Or do I do a pen check of how the past week has been, right? And so in summarizing and putting all those together, I think physically today, whether this week and today, just a bit sleep deprived. It's been a bit of a bumpy... The toils of life have been a bit bumpy this week, and yeah, just trying to go back to some of my self-care mechanisms and routines that I've been very disciplinedly cultivating over the past couple of months. I think that's a summary of how I've been doing physically in Nairobi. I've been, getting a bit, I've been eating a lot more healthy than I was in Mauritius. For those who have been with us for over the past year, rather 6 months, I fractured my clavicle back in February, and that thing scared me to death. I said, how am I breaking a bone? I said, no. And so I've just been really working on my diet, and playing sports as much as I can. So yeah, there's that. Emotionally, oof, it's been a whirlwind. But generally, again, I've been feeling very grounded. That's one of the beautiful things that Nairobi and Kenya has given me. Generally, spending time with the family. You know, I don't regret my conscious decision to want to stay in Nairobi this summer, and not travel too much. You know, I think also because of the academic work that I have with my dissertation on the Kenyan music industry, and the work in the Kenyan music industry, that has just left me feeling very surrounded by my culture every time I step out of the house, and leaving these spaces with more of myself, you know. And yeah, just a, that's an ode to, you know, just what the Kenyan music scene has given me and the different spaces that I've stepped in. So yeah, I've been feeling very grounded. I think that's an overall answer to that. My needs, oof, I've been talking about how I need a new Stanford hoodie. Shout out to some of our friends who are in Stanford, you know, meeting some of our guests and some of our previous networks. That's really fascinating. But yeah, what I'd say is I need you guys to listen to Kenyan music. You know, I'm always gonna plug, you know, the fantastic talent that is in this country. And then also I need a quick way of analyzing my literature review, right? Going through literature. My chapter two is due next week. I think it was due this past week. I just haven't opened my email, so my conscience is clean. I don't feel like any pinch of guilt for not knowing my deadlines. But I know I have a deadline around August 7th. But yeah, lastly, I think I need a getaway, like a retreat, you know. I know Sean threw an idea for to us in the group of just going away on an adventure and a getaway together, just the three of us, so we can get to, you know each other a bit more. But yeah, I need a getaway so I can like do some deep work. If I feel like if I do like 2 days of deep work, I'd be good to like August, like mid-August. So I'm gonna look for some time and steal away. But yeah, that's how I'm doing. And overall, just very, very happy to be back on the podcast with y'all guys. Yuri, how you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Speaking of diets, I remember when we started this year, I was like, you know, I'm on this weight loss journey. I'm being very conscious about what I'm eating. I'm super excited. I'm seeing some changes. Well, guys, all of that changed until I landed back in Nairobi, and I'm currently living under my mom's roof. And I'm being stuffed with all kinds of interesting meals every single day, and I cannot deny, I cannot refuse. So, physically, I'm eating really, really well. I think just homemade food makes all the difference compared to like the different kinds of meals you'd get like in a cafeteria at an institution or in a workplace, you name it. But physically, I've been doing really well. I think probably I just need to take a bit of more walks to be a bit more active and step away from my gadgets and from my work. But I wouldn't complain at all. Emotionally, I feel anxious quite a bit because before even when we hopped onto this recording, I was, you know, we were just chatting with the gents over here and we're saying that this month has just gone by so fast. And I'm having this lingering thought, have I made the most out of this month? Have I got the stuff that I wanted to do done? Or have I made some progress like in my dissertation or my academic work? And I'm feeling very anxious and a bit scared because I'm like, ha, time is just flying and I don't want to be caught, you know, just slacking or hanging without actually, you know, making some progress. So I'm pretty much just, you know, currently on crossroads, but hopefully, I can sit down and just audit and see actually I've made some progress this month. My need, I'd probably share one of those weird needs that Sean normally has. Guys, I need a table. I'm currently holding my microphone with my two hands in my room. I don't have a table. I need you guys to kindly recommend places in Nairobi where I can get a decent table so I can work and also, you know, record these episodes. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. Sean, what about you?
All is well on my end. Physically, I'm doing great. Feeling good. Been sleeping at good times. So yeah, my sleep schedule and rhythm is quite intact, and eating well as well. I mean, yeah, physically I'm doing well. Gym, still gymming, you know, keeping active. I recently picked up a new sport, which I'll see how long I can stick around with this one. I recently got interested in paddle. Paddle is like, it's like squash and tennis had a baby. You know, it's one of those racket sports. I really enjoy racket sports. For those who might have known me back in Mauritius on campus, I was always at the table, tennis table. Like, I basically lived there. And yeah, so I really enjoy racket sports, the tennis, table tennis, squash. So paddle is like an interesting mix of those. And one thing about Nairobi is that there's a huge expatriate community. So paddle is like a really niche American type sport. Honestly, it's only Americans I've seen playing this thing. I think that's where it originated. So yeah, I mean, that's an interesting one that I've recently picked up with a good friend of mine. Yeah, emotionally, I'm also doing great. Yeah, I've just been intentional about where my energy goes, you know, my thoughts, my feelings. Yeah, so I'm really, you know, been in control of those, and you know, for a while now, just been quite grounded. So I think emotionally, I'm doing okay. Needs, just like you, I also need a desk, like a work desk. Yeah, so my sister and I are currently trying to put together a home office in our apartment. So yeah, we've, you know, just been going to different furniture shops, checking out different things. Let me tell you guys, furniture in Nairobi is like hit or miss, in that you could get really great affordable stuff, but there's always a catch, right? So in this case, the catch would be, oh, you have to go some random place you've never heard of to get this thing. You're not even sure if they'll be able to bring it to your house, or, you know, slightly more expensive options, but you know, you're not really seeing the value. So yeah, I think I've reached a point where it's just like hit or miss. I can't keep analysis paralysising this home office. Like, I'm just gonna buy stuff. If it doesn't fit in the house, if it doesn't look good, so be it. But
you can do when Harry was moving out, one thing that he did is he did like a do-it-yourself. He just got some artisans and made a lot of his like simple furniture that he needed. So just like,
I hear that.
Yeah, looking
support
for
local talent.
Yeah. And it's like you can also custom design it and just play around with it. And just, yeah, I think that's one of the creative approaches that you can take.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are actually on Instagram. So I've been checking out some Insta pages, some really creative crafts people. So long as I can get the thing into my house, you know, that's it. But yeah, I think that's it for my needs. And thank you guys for sharing. It's really great to, you know, just be on here. Right before we started recording, you know, I really had to get us to like actually record, because we were doing our Founders Friday. The thing wasn't recording. You know, we're just bantering, chatting. I was like, guys, let's hop on. Because every time, you know, it's just the three of us. There's so much to share, etc. And Founders Friday isn't like our team meetings, right? So it's not like we're talking, Oh, this episode needs to go up. Oh, have you gotten confirmation on this? Oh, we need this, we need that. Nah, it's like, how's everyone doing? So, yeah, welcome everyone again to our Founders Friday. Guys, I love it here. Now, in the past couple of weeks, a couple of things have popped up that I think we've all found really fascinating. And two giants are currently locking horns, two tech giants. If you guys know or don't know, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg have been making serious waves, suing each other. I think some guys are trying to get them to fight like a mixed martial arts thing in a ring. There's been so much going on in that space, and a lot of it surrounds Instagram, or rather Meta, recently launching their new platform called Threads. Before we even dive into those things, are you guys on Threads? I seem to recall, I think both. Are you both?
I'm not on Threads.
You're not on Threads.
I'm the early adopter.
Early adopter.
Hey,
He's early on
Yuri's
that curve.
already an influencer on Threads.
I'm
He's
already an
over here being humble about it.
I'm already being an influencer with
That's awesome. And how are you finding it? Like, just as a platform.
I think. And we actually talked about this, Sean, a couple, I think yesterday, and immediately it was launched, for me, my dopamine levels just went off the roof. I was literally invested to be on the platform and just figure out like what's the culture over here, what's the nature over here. And for me, I just started sharing humor, different kinds of memes, just different kinds of stuff that I found very intriguing. I'd
So you're a
repost
meme
kinds
lord.
of stuff. Yes, there's a side of me that has a certain level of humor that you guys probably know, but not so many people know about it. But yeah, I just started sharing different kinds of stuff over there to sort of gauge and see like, what's the energy. But those dopamine levels kind of just dwindled after a couple of days, and I don't actually remember the last time I opened the app, and I just went back to the my failed marriage with Twitter, and I'm back there just checking different kinds of things, because I've always just been someone who's been very intrigued by Twitter. But that's how my general feeling was. It started with a very high. But now I'm like, oh, it's just one of those apps, and I'm not too sure if I wanna, invest my energy over here. Yeah.
Was an interesting launch. It came, I think the timing of it was really perfect. In the recent past, I think it was what, last year or early this year, Elon Musk acquired Twitter. And that was for like what? Was it $64 billion? It was like huge acquisition. And Elon basically, it started off as memes, right? He was there on Twitter just saying, hey, I could probably make Twitter work more efficiently, this, that. So this was last year. And then all of a sudden, he gets in, finds a bunch of other investors. They come together as a syndicate, buyout, Twitter. And now here he is at the helm of one of the largest social networks, trying to figure out how to optimize it. Remember, I mean, those huge layoffs. If you guys remember that, guys are being fired left, right, and center from Twitter. He was basically trying to make it a lean operation. It was hemorrhaging millions of dollars every day. So, he was really trying to fix that. And some mistakes were made here and there. And speculation is that, I mean, it's not even that much speculation. It's a bit obvious that Meta saw weakness on the Twitter side and said, if right now we adopt, if we bring something into the market, it's gonna do well and people are gonna adopt this thing. I personally have been using Threads like very sparingly, especially as someone who's a Twitter diehard. my Twitter feed, I just think the way it feels, the people that are there, the content they post, you just can't replicate it overnight on Threads, right? It's feeling a bit of a weird placement to me. Bonnie, I'm curious why you didn't get onto it. Is there a reason for it? Am I just like challenged to with technology, technologically challenged?
Ebana. Well, to be fair, I didn't know that it's like a separate app. I thought it's like on the thing. That's not like for what I've been seeing about it and everything. I believe in conspiracies. I believe people are trying to get our data out here. And so like when it came out, the day it came out, I don't know where I was, but I didn't catch the news until the next day, right? And then by that time, they already started posting about how you can't delete it. And for me, that was just sus. That was just sus, right? And then it took me back to, you know, some of the conversations that we've had here on the podcast with people like Timnit, something that Armand mentioned, right? When we were doing, Armand Amin is one of the guests that we had. We'll get you guys the episode number in a bit. But while I was asking him a question referencing his LinkedIn, I accidentally said Instagram instead of LinkedIn, right? It was a slip of the tongue. And then that led us into a whole rabbit hole of how he's not on Meta platforms, right? And like one of the debates here is, you know, between Threads and Twitter, which social media app is better? But if you think about the term social media app, there's a lot more business and corporate push and pull going on behind this Threads Twitter thing than an actual genuine concern to want to bring people together and have them socialize, right? And so I'm thinking, in the spirit of late adoption, just investigating things a bit more and just thinking through a lot of what's going on. You know, all three of us are business management students. So, you know, we know what's going on the stakeholder side of things, right? Rather the shareholder side of things. And so when you look at it from a human perspective, I don't think Threads is necessarily going to make my life any better than it is now in terms of, you know, a social platform that I need to be on, right? I'm on Instagram, I'm on my Twitter. Yeah, I've been pushing my Twitter. Sean motivates us. Hey, bana. You know, I think one of the conversations that we've had, Sean, is, you know, just how and why you use your Twitter and just what you've referenced right now. And so for me, my Instagram, you can find every aspect of my life, right? You know, I feel like I'm very intentional about documenting what I do on Instagram, right? And in the spirit of building a digital footprint, in the spirit of socializing, there's a lot more that I do outside of social media that still gives me what I need to get. And so it's just also not hopping on these technologies if I don't need to, because we know the business people, you know, behind all of this. I think something I'd wanted to mention as well is the fact that, you know, last semester we did this module in school on leading change, right? And if you look at exactly what's going on with Twitter, it's, you know, Elon Musk is coming in as a leader to lead change, you know. And in investigating that, even from the course that we did, it's, you look at the leader, right? Timnit mentioned, you know, investigate the technology, the history of it, who's behind it, why it's being used. And all of these questions just lead up to questions, right? And I'm not necessarily going to sit here and say I religiously followed the work of these two gentlemen and whatnot. I think there's certain interests that I have and certain things that I do in the business world that I learn from them and that, you know, are also very different. When I think about how this leader is leading change, right? That's a very big question. And I'd love to get you guys' thoughts as well on that topic, but then also, because when I was thinking about it, it's like the Boardroom Banter podcast is also going through a change, right? That, you know, that all of us are leading, whether it's with our community, whether it's, you know, how we're, you know, doing our operations. The rest is a secret, guys. I can't say it here. But, you know, if you think about leading change and what that entails, think about government, think about all of these different aspects in which we see examples of people leading change. Yeah, I just ask a lot more questions these days, guys, before I hop on these platforms. But yeah, as I posted on my story, if you're on this platform and, you know, you're just for vibes, like, do you, like, However you want, you guys want to use this platform, just use it however you feel like you need to. But yeah, that's my.
Definitely. I like that you brought up Timnit, because if you guys go and look up Timnit Gebero's episode, the episode that we did, we had a phenomenal, actually, she's a thought leader in the artificial intelligence space, and runs DAIR, Distributed Artificial Intelligence Research Agency. And so working with a lot of these, tech companies that are trying to make a difference and trying to figure out what the place of AI, et cetera, is in big tech. And so one of the big things that she brought up was just her concern that data and privacy is going to be sacrificed for convenience and shiny new softwares where we're actually giving up a lot of our information, etc. Threads recently came under fire because they actually breached a couple of the AU's, I mean, not AU, EU's, European Union's policies on data security, right, and privacy. So, there's a certain level of harvesting of data going on. And when you just look at the spread that Meta has in terms of how many platforms it has, there's WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, now Threads. There's like monopoly type of thing going on. This is stuff that we were learning in business class, but we don't tend to think that these social media platforms are becoming those. And I like, Bonnie, that you mentioned that, perhaps for you, this new platform isn't really adding much, marginal benefit to your life in any way. What I'm finding interesting from Elon Musk's side, because as we speak, he's trying to turn Twitter into what he calls X.com. So that's actually a change that's like presently ongoing. They already have the domain, etc. And he's been very public that he wants to make Twitter like an everything app. So, embedding fintech into there so you can do your transactions, embedding, of course, the core, which is social media,
Is it sort of
but
like
also,
the Chinese platform that does that? Sorry to interrupt.
yeah, just like WeChat does. So there's WePay, there's even a ride-hailing thing, there's delivery and shopping, Amazon type thing embedded into it. WeChat is basically like a super app based out of China, and everything happens there. So it's something that, I'd been looking into back when I was writing my dissertation last year. This thing of the platform economy and just how, these little groups of power, they're just consolidating users' power, users' data, et cetera, and just becoming absolute giants. The question is, to what end? Like, what really is the end goal? A smart thing, again, as a putting on my business management hat, kudos to Threads for figuring out was, when you signed up for your Threads account, it's imported your users and your data from Instagram. So I noticed that, and I took note of it in my notebook. I was like, when you're launching a new product, you need to make sure that there's as little friction as possible for new user adoption. But also what they did there was saying, hey, we have this huge user base of people across our other Meta platforms. How can we basically onboard them quickly so that they don't have to build their community again? Because a reason why maybe someone would be hesitant to join Twitter today is that you're starting from scratch. No followers. No, you're not following anyone. You have to now look for people. You have to. Threads was so intuitive. I remember when I downloaded this thing, it just came on, chap, imported my users. So whoever I was following who set up Threads, I'd automatically follow, and vice versa. So that was really interesting, because what they're using there is it's called the network effect, right? It's basically that. It's a phenomenon that happens when a platform is designed such that it gets better the more people that use it, the better this thing becomes. And also the harder it is for someone to switch over to something else. So from a business standpoint, I just think Zuckerberg has like years more experience in terms of social networking. It basically eclipses Elon Musk, who's, you know, SpaceX, more of an engineering science background. So it's going to be interesting how these two guys who are successful in their own fields are now, you know, Elon is now coming into Zuckerberg's backyard and saying, you know what, I'm going to take you up on this. So this is like beef on the highest levels. They both do like martial arts and stuff. So guys are speculating that they should do a fight, like in a ring, these two guys fight. Man, the internet right now is just, it's doing the most, guys. And I think sitting down and trying to keep up with everything that's happening is just going to be so tough to do. But yeah, I wish Threads all the best. Personally, like, I'm not seeing the use case. I mean, I'm a Twitter diehard. I just love to, Twitter is so much more organic. You know, it's, some parts of Twitter might be a bit chaotic, but you know, I think it's a function of who you follow. Like you curate your community on that place.
Yeah, Sean. Wait a minute, guys. Is there background noise around me?
Mm-mm.
Okay. There's a lot of chickens and all kinds of things just making noise around over here. But
that's your lunch. Your lunch is walking around.
Yeah, lunch is walking around. But what you guys are actually echoing is, I think, the next phase of social media that I see a lot of these, you know, big tech companies are currently pivoting into, which I feel is like decentralized social media. So, for example, the way Sean, you mentioned that, when you were opening your Threads account, you could immediately import your existing audience based off on Instagram and continue growing that community on Threads, right? And I feel at this point in time, there's different kinds of articles and things I've just been reading. I don't have, you know, the best information. We will definitely add different kinds of articles that you can read on the show notes of this episode. But from what I see is that, you know, Meta at this point in time is building different kinds of products to complement its competitors. We've seen the same way, you know, IG Stories was integrated into Instagram. It was an idea borrowed off from Snapchat. And you know, they brought in different kinds of innovative ways in which you could, you know, scroll through different kinds of stories, post different kinds of stories, which in itself people found more interactive, and the engagement on Snapchat really went low. And with the different kinds of scandals that now Twitter is undergoing, I think Mark Zuckerberg has seen, you know, the prime time to start something new. So, for example, you know, people were moving into like Hive Social, Mastodon, different kinds of platforms. And I think this was the prime time for Meta to launch Threads. But the way I see it is that Meta at this point of time is trying to amass different kinds of products. And yeah, we can call it a monopoly. We can say they're trying to have fair competition because Twitter has been, again, a monopoly on its own. But I see that this new wave of decentralized social media would create monopolies, and Meta kind of has the upper hand in all of this because of its pre-existing large user base. So for Twitter, the way I see it, it's gonna be a tough one for them. They really need to find ways in which they can still incentivize people to keep using Twitter, because Threads is pretty new. They have not really integrated like different kinds of features, which I'm sure will come, like a stronger recommendation algorithm, like things like DMs, like hashtags. And if that happens, you know, what happens to Twitter? Twitter in itself has been having different kinds of struggles. They've been making losses. We've seen that different kinds of shareholders are kind of getting scared to work with Elon, because he's making very, different kinds of decisions without, the input from, the board, like limiting the number of tweets that you can read in a day, and, just different kinds of things, the way, Elon is shaping, the change in Twitter is a bit haphazard, even the firing and everything. So yeah, it's a tricky situation for both of these big tech companies. But I feel that for Twitter, this is a very big threat for them. So yeah, those are just my thoughts.
What do you think? When I think of decentralized social media, from a standpoint where I understand decentralized finance and, blockchain, etc., the whole point of decentralizing, for anyone who might not be aware, is that you can create some sort of like your own community and your own like server where, let's say, the boardroom community can just have like its own space, its own posting. And what happens is that you see what you want to see, right? Whereas on a more centralized platform like Twitter, Facebook, etc., TikTok, there's a server that's owned by this corporation that has your data. They own that. They are the ones who have oversight on the algorithms that are used and what is shown to you. And basically those things are designed so that you stay there. And Threads is trying to find a way that, they're trying to be like, Twitter is a very dangerous place. Let's like make this nicer, safer microcosm. Because again, they're trying to find differentiating factors. So saying, Twitter bad, Threads good, here there's less people saying different things. But I was reading somewhere that, these concerns that does you filtering certain content, like to what extent can a platform be given that freedom, right? Because that means that certain things that are a bit political, that don't align with maybe Meta's, Meta's general political leaning and ideological leaning, what does that mean for other people? Because there's been huge censoring. When Elon went into Twitter and, basically exposed a lot of the shadow banning, blocking of different accounts that were basically speaking truth and showing that, wow, there was actually executives at Twitter who were paid off by different, political groups and people of different ideologies to hush certain narratives. And I think it got really bad, especially around COVID time when that was really rampant. And now things have like been unraveled and we're just like, wow, quote unquote misinformation, started being weaponized. Because when you watch certain movies or, you go on Black Mirror, etc., it doesn't take much for someone's truth to be called a lie or misinformation. And because of who holds power to label that, you also have influence over people's opinions. So I think these social media platforms are a bit dangerous in that they could, if someone was to sit down in an evil dark room somewhere and say, let's shape the psychology of the masses in a certain way, like these are great tools to do that. So yeah, I just think, yeah, a bit more oversight over these things and transparency into what these things are before we join. Maybe we should have been like Boni actually and just like not signed up, because now they have our data.
I'm just saying. There's a friend of mine, he's a techie, his name is Aleko, and he was telling me how, see how like we save passwords on these browsers, right? So he's like very big on cybersecurity. He's a big fan of Bright, the cybersecurity expert in the country. And so you're saying the moment you save these things on the browsers, it like has your data. And then when ChatGPT came out, he asked me, did you sign up with like your normal like Gmail account? I was like, oh my goodness, don't tell me. They're telling me how like ChatGPT now is a bit more, it's like a bit more advanced. So now it not only like has like your present data of like your email and whatever, but then because it's an AI and it's built on machine learning, it goes back through your data history that's attached to that email. And he as he's explaining, I told him, you know what, just stop right there. Stop right there. I don't want to know how this ends. Let me find out how it ends in the next 20 years.
Do
But
we
then
want to find out how it ends in 20
you know
years?
what? You know what? In 20 years, my hope is in the next 30 years, let's say 30 years, right? I'll be what? 54. At 54, like, will I really care too
Damn.
much about, no, think about it, yeah. Even in wallah, even like by the time I hit my 50s, and because I know how I'm trying to hit my 50s, you know? I know what I'm trying to have in my life when I hit my 50s. Like, am I really gonna care if someone had my ALU data? Just saying. But do you guys remember the time during the Kenyan elections when there was an appeal and then they were going for a re-election and the electoral commission was still the same people running the second election? So like with what you're saying, Shano, the message being put out there is, Threads is safer and there's a lot less this and that. It's like, are we on record? All right, cool. It's like these guys think we forget that Facebook was the one with privacy. Like, it's the same leader building the same,
Exactly.
like that. I know I'm not crazy. Like I know I'm asking the right questions, right? And it's a thing of, this is the same Facebook that was done on that Netflix thing of big data and CG interfering with what elections. And it's like, nah, you can't, like, nah, I'm smarter than that. Anyway, if it's fun, if it's like, I'm not here saying at oh, cancel Facebook. I'm still on Instagram. I don't use my Facebook too much. I'm still on Instagram, I'm still on WhatsApp, and I'll still use these things as per how I want to, but like just keep it like in the it's like I keep it in the back of your mind thing. And I was gonna reference something, Sean, that I also saw you tweet sometime last year, and you talk about why you're not necessarily on Snapchat. And it's back to this thing of net value. Like, there's no net value of me being on Snapchat. Like, there's no, and for you, it was from a, like, what am I learning on this app? Right. And so for you, Snapchat, like, how, from what I picked there is how you view your social media platforms is what am I learning from these platforms? And that is such a fantastic perspective to approach these things with. And with Snapchat for you, it's, is it like, when I spent 30 minutes there, am I leaving there having like learned something? Right. So it's not necessarily. And then I was like, oh, I use Snapchat to like keep tabs with people around the world and like what guys are doing day to day. And it's like just to our listeners, just understanding why you use what you use, it just feels like a very responsible thing to think about. It's like it makes sense to think about such things and why you use them. And this goes like further into like even the devices that we use. Just being aware of the tech that you're living in a very technologically advanced world. And I generally feel that in the next 30 years, my kids will have bigger problems to deal with on these platforms than the ones I have now, just because that's how the world is.
I think
And
they'll be challenged with the whole concept of deep fakes. So artificial intelligence taking your face and voice and creating a
back to
digital
the Black
version of
Mirror
you.
reference. Yeah, back to the
Yeah,
Black Mirror
and
reference. Yeah.
anyone who's watched the latest season of Black Mirror, I think that was episode one or two. It's called Everyone Hates Jean, something like that. But yeah, it was basically this lady who normal life and everything, but when she signed up to a streaming service, in the terms and conditions, because I mean, let's be honest, not many of us read the terms and conditions.
No one reads it.
No, you'd be surprised. There's some people who probably do, but I mean, they're few and far between. So when you say agree, agree, agree. In that episode of Black Mirror on Netflix, basically one of the things that she had signed off was lifetime perpetual use of her likeness, meaning her like voice, the way she looks, her, you know, who, her appearance, basically, to create content in perpetuity, so continuously, and she was not going to get any revenue from that. So no cut of it, and you have no say, and you basically waive your rights to your digital likeness.
To right? yourself, yeah.
Imagine. And when we see the advances that AI is making, I mean, generative AI, that whole thing of, you know, making pictures, making like short clips, etc. It's very within its current capacity to make movies and films. So imagine Boniface's face and voice basically as a character in some movie doing whatever that he's doing. And, you know, you have no control over that. Or it could take a malicious turn and someone kidnaps, you know, someone, God forbid, and like uses, or rather you've not been kidnapped, but your parents have been sent like a video of you or a voice thing of you that was AI generated for like extortion. Or someone makes like really compromising material online and says, hey, if you don't send me this, this is going live, and none will be able to know this is like a fake.
Hey, so, Sean, Sean, your ideas are sounding a bit too well thought out. Yeah, I don't feel safe right now.
It's the truth. Yuri, do you read through those terms and conditions? Because I think now I think it's even more important to do that and just understand what we're doing. There was an app the other day. Do you remember? I don't know if you guys saw on social media, like 2-3 weeks ago, guys were doing these professional LinkedIn things. So it's an app you get, you know, take a couple of selfies or upload a few images, then it generates for you like, you know, high quality professional headshots, right? So it's you in a suit, your hair's been done, how you so it makes those for you. In the terms and conditions, I wouldn't say the name of the app, but hey, chances are, if you're listening and you did those professional Nini ones, you go and check the terms and conditions. Yeah, so they waived their rights to use of their face. So the app now can do whatever they want with your image. So if it needs to generate, like for data purposes, okay, now we know how to make more like black faces look realistic. Or, oh, Kenyans, this is how Kenyans usually look. This is the official. Or down the line, they could sell it to someone. You know, so exactly. These things are very much a reality.
That's exactly. And I think that was what even Timnit was talking about, how they train these models, right? They need large sets of data. And apps like that actually have access to such data. And without reading those terms and conditions, you've waived your rights. So you can't really complain. I think when I watched that episode of Black Mirror, I just sat for a minute and I was like, dude, I've never been reading terms and conditions. Like, immediately I'm seeing a new app, like, you know, Be Real, Lock It, all these other things. Me and my early adopter excitement, I just say yes, 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 accept, and I'm in, and I just want to check out the features. But I think
the first boardroom banter deep fake will be Yuri. It's
him. Exactly. Clearly.
Exactly. But
he just played us guys already.
Exactly. You know, but I think some of these things, even when I view them from, you know, my room in my own space, I feel that I don't really have much control over, you know, certain platforms and social, like I can choose to be there, but I can also choose not to be there. That I have control over. But we live in a world where, for example, a podcast like this, we have to have an Instagram page. We, you know, Boni is a creative doing different kinds of things. He has to share his work for him to, you know, get different kinds of gigs here and there. And I sit back and I'm like, in some way, I have to also just be present in these platforms if I want to grow and scale in the different kinds of work that I'm doing. But the biggest challenge for myself is not to take information at face value or just accept what I'm being fed without thinking critically. Looking at things from different dimensions and trying to decipher and understand, you know, is this something that I can hold as a truth? Or should I, you know, question this or search for different kinds of sources of information before I accept different kinds of things? Because yes, Threads is mining very interesting data from us. Like, it knows if we are supporting climate change. It knows if we are supporting things such as abortion and different kinds of things. Like, there's that section on their app that says that they're taking certain critical information from us. But, you know, I have to be very keen when I'm being fed different kinds of information from these platforms, not to be swayed in a certain direction without viewing different kinds of lenses. It's the same way even with our news outlets. You can't just watch one news outlet and trust the truth that they're trying to share with you. You have to look at things differently. So I feel a bit challenged to read a bit more, to speak with people a bit more, to, you know, seek different kinds of references before I make a certain paradigm around a certain thought or a certain thing. But I think just on top of this, like, one of the biggest challenges or biggest rhetoric questions that I'm having at this point in time as a founder is, and I just called you, I'll just reference the this book that we normally like, what is it called? 0 to 1. There's a very interesting question in one of the first chapters, and it is, what valuable company is nobody building? Because it looks like now a lot of companies are just mirroring what is already existing or just trying to, like, you know, monopolize different kinds of spaces. But for me as a founder, I'm asking myself, like, what valuable company is someone not building at this point in time, and how can I and my team and different kinds of people just build something so valuable that it's difficult for other people to replicate? So I think I'll just leave you guys with that question before we go into the other segment. And as you listen to this, like, just ask yourself, like, what company are people not building at this point in time that would be valuable in the long run? Yeah.
I think Elon is now building that company. So, like, that all-in-one app where you can get all these things in one space. Because I think that's what Meta tried to do with, you know, back when cryptos were a big thing. Facebook tried to create their own coin and currency called Libra. And the whole point was that because we have hundreds of millions, billions of users across all of our platforms, it would make sense for us to have a shared currency, right? So they tried that angle and were quickly shut down by regulators because of just how, like, disruptive that thing would be. Because you could argue with the number of users they have, that could technically be its own, like, global currency easily. I mean, that's a no-brainer thing. So they got shut down. Libra coin was shut down. So now I think Elon is also seeing the fintech play to having a large audience and is now thinking, how can I make their lives easier? And, you know, they could do everything from this app. Execution is now what's we're yet to see how that's going to work. But yeah, I think Elon is a more practical type of guy of, okay, is this helpful or not? Yes, no. You know, he's very binary in his decision making, I find. So I'm interested to see what this new, like, X.com thing is. They're going to totally rebrand Twitter, so it won't be like Twitter anymore, it'll be X. So yeah, I'm following it closely on Twitter and just seeing, you know, does Elon have a, is there a play here? So this is super exciting. And I just love that competition is what is breeding innovation in this case.
Capitalism. Right? Gotta love it.
You know, we love capitalism. It's good. It's good for when it's good. But, you know, once they start using our faces for Netflix shows without our consent, maybe we'll change our opinion on that one.
That brings us to the end of our podcast recording, guys. Oh, but imagine we're back next week, we're still here. And then the other week, another one. And another one, and another
follow
one.
Follow us on Threads.
Follow Yuri at Short on Threads. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter.
I'm going to go and check the terms and conditions right now.
Hey, can you unsign them? If you can't delete your account, you sold your soul, man.
Hey, oh, yeah, but hey, you actually can't delete your Threads account because it's linked to your Instagram.
Yeah, but you mentioned this
you
algorithm
can only
is
activated. That's it.
Man.
That's how far you can go. But your profile, I think, will just stick.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned how these algorithms know who we support and what we support. Hope my algorithm on Twitter knows I support Nairobi and Kenyan music. And both of better. But yeah, guys, this was such a fantastic chat. Oh, it's so refreshing to be back. And I hope the listeners are as excited as we are. The past couple of weeks have been fantastic. Our community is up 140 plus members. There's some signups going on, so we'll have to update that stat over the next couple of days. Over 20 plus different countries. You know, I saw some listeners from Pakistan. And I was like, you know what? That is just fantastic. Right, because we're giving people the opportunity to connect with. We are connecting, first of all, people with listeners from all around the world, and they get to do the same with one another. And I think that's just fascinating. But as is our culture, you know, I feel like one thing about the podcast is when we grab onto a good segment and it sounds good and it feels good, we don't even adapt to, we don't even change too much. But yeah, we have a nice little segment called Founders Wrap Up. So if you listen to our guest episodes, we usually ask our guests some rapid fire questions, and you know, we got to a point where we're like, you know what, we need some more anxiety, some more nervousness, some more, you know, spontaneousness to the end of our podcast recordings here on Founders Friday. And so thus came the idea for Founders Wrap Up. So we're going to go around, and each founder is going to ask the next founder to their left a question, and it shall be answered in the most dramatically and podcast worthy ways. Whereas so today's Russian roulette, we're gonna do Sean to Yuri. No, I can't let Yuri ask me a question today. I'll do Yuri. Yuri do Sean. Sean does me. Yuri, you can ask Sean first. Go ahead.
Oh man, I was hoping I go last because I didn't prepare a question. Oh, man.
Sean, do you have a question ready for me? I have a question ready for you, Yuri, so you can go second.
Okay, ask.
All right. So my question is, so this question is specifically to your work as a creative, Yuri, and a DJ, and you know the work that you do on that side of things.
Mm-hmm.
What's your biggest fear as a DJ and as a creative? I've asked that question to a couple of creators over the past couple of weeks. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. What's your biggest fear as a DJ or as a creative?
Yuri, just check the terms and conditions because your answer will be used in a dissertation.
Exactly. I am not waiving any of my rights.
You must be consulted if this is.
I need to be consulted before any of this information is published in the public domain. But yeah, I think I've had this thought a couple of times about the intentionality behind the mixes that I put out and the music that I decide to share on like SoundCloud, Mixcloud, YouTube, different kinds of platforms. When I sit down and I curate a mix or a set, it speaks volumes into, you know, the different feelings that I've been having, because I cave a lot into my music to sort of, lose myself from certain realities in life. So music has always been like my therapy, right? And sometimes I listen to different kinds of tracks and I hear this is, the emotion that the artist is trying to create, or this is the message that the artist is trying to share. And I vibe to that sound. And what happens is that now I sit back and I look for different kinds of songs that could also mirror that type of energy. And with that comes a lot of intentionality behind my mixes. Like, there's a very personal touch to it. And my greatest fear is that I don't want to get to a point in time where I'm so overwhelmed with performing and being in front of crowds that I start being too generic in the way I put together my sets. I still want you guys to listen to me play. Of course, I'm evolving and learning different kinds of things, which is super amazing. And of course, like, I'll be improving on different kinds of things. But when you hear me play, you know that that is you replaying, because it speaks volumes into my own artistic style and the way I creatively put together music and share it with the world. So yeah, I feel that's pretty much my biggest fear at this point in time, just losing that intentionality. And I think also that's part of the reason why I've not been very upbeat on, running and just getting as many gigs as possible, because I still feel that I need that time to craft my, my style and build my own form of playing in front of crowds. Yeah, yeah.
That's a beautiful answer, man. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, yeah. Karibu, karibu, karibu. I think yesterday we were talking with Sean, and we did float an idea of going to do bowling, but that was my idea, right? We need to do something fun together. So, like, my question for Sean, I know he's talked about a new game that he's recently picked up. So, like, if we were to hang out sometime soon, what do you think we should do besides just bowling? And probably we can, plan for that next week.
Look at how Yuri has used Fonda's wrap-up to outsource work. All right, what could we do?
Yeah, let's go to Snake Park. Let's go to Snake Park, man.
Snake Park.
Where was
it? Go ahead.
We need to unpack that.
Leave me alone.
What do you mean?
Sorry for
why? There's no way. But I'd probably be interested to go, because snakes are just inherently weird and scary. So out of like putting myself, out of my comfort zone, I might be down for that. As long as the guy assures me this thing has no venom and won't try to strangle me to death, then
I have a crazy story for you guys. Like, just a quick one. There's a time when my family, we had gone for holiday in Malindi, and we went to the snake park over there. I think I was about 9 years old, 8 years old, still in primary, and I got to like carry the big python around my neck, and my parents, sort of took a photo of that, and I used it in a card where I invited almost everyone in my class for my birthday. And people were so terrified from that card that no one showed up for my birthday. So I have PTSD from this.
What creative idea was that?
Man, childhood trauma.
Who took that creative loophole?
Yo, it was cool. And I literally printed that card, and it was just me with a big python. And I think when the kids just got home and shared it with their parents, are like, this one, no, you're not going.
So two things. They either thought they're going to be snakes there, or they thought that this guy is with snakes. And Africa, how we're quick to play the witchcraft card. Like, the parents are probably like, now we can't have our kids going to these snake people's house. Anyway, in terms of activities, I think games Let's start with bowling. Let's see how we do that one. I think bowling would be great. And knowing that we're all a competitive bunch, you know, the first thing that Yuri said when we mentioned bowling, I was like, yeah, let's do bowling, but just know I'm not going there to lose. So definitely let's put that to test. Yuri has already spoken. Me, I kept quiet. You know, in these things you don't talk. In case you take an L, you don't want to have it in the books that you are talking big. So
We shall post the results. Post the
we shall
results.
post the results. All right, my question to Bonnie, if you were to start writing music, what genre would you specialize in?
Bro, I did some nice R&B.
R&B.
I feel like I can see me perform it already, and thus the reason why I would do R&B. But also because like R&B a bit more like, first of all, that's a true question, because nowadays these genres just be all over the place. But I do R&B. You really suggesting Roomba. I don't think I'd start with Roomba though. I'd ease people into my Roomba. You know, me and my Luya upbringing, bana coming for Biana, he made Baraza's crown. You know, and I don't know, he still has his time to shine. But yeah, I do R&B, and I focus a lot on like string instrument, keys. I do keys and like I do keys guitar, and mix it up with some violin. Oh, anyway, hey, don't get me started. I'm actually putting out my first audio project. I think by the time this episode comes out, it'll be out. I'm just trying to put myself out there a bit more. I do see myself finding my way in music, mostly on the business side, but who knows, man? My bestiongu, my Kenyan artist friends be maybe having some wild ideas, and they be sounding very convincing. But we'll see about that. Yeah, that comes to the end of our podcast, guys. I'll let Sean wrap it up for us. But there's some two episodes that we referenced. Early in the episode, Timnit Gebru, that's episode number 49. I think it was the second episode of the year, so hope over to our January
Yeah.
episodes for those. And then Arman Amin, episode 56, for you guys to hear more on what questions you need to ask yourself about the technology that you use. Sean.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to my fellow co-founders for joining me here in the boardroom for another Founders Friday episode. Listeners, we appreciate you. If you made it this far, shout out to you. If you are new to the Boardroom Banter podcast, we thank you so much for joining us. We release our episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. We've been super consistent with our episodes. We have over 100 so far. So you can definitely take, the week and go down a Boardroom Banter rabbit hole. There's definitely so much to learn, so much to do, and lots of conversations to hear. So on your morning walk, on your commute, when you're in the gym, stream Boardroom Banter. We love you guys all so much and we appreciate the support so far. Keep it in the boardroom. We've got our community as well. If you go onto our official link tree, which I believe we have posted on all our socials. So when you go to the link part of any of our social pages at Boardroom Banter, you'll be able to go and click join our community. We have a really awesome community of doers, thinkers, movers, shakers. Come and expand your network. Really cool people in there. You never know who you'll meet. You might meet your next co-founder. You might meet your future spouse. Nothing is off the table here. Networking can really take you somewhere. So we look forward to meeting you guys in the boardroom. Thank you guys so much for listening and see you on the flip side.